bless you, Sister Roark. Appreciate that. Sister Amber, if you're ready, would you come and share a song with us, please?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Man, that was beautiful. Brittany, you have a song for us? The last time Sister Brittany was here, we had Brittany Hicks sing a song. Today we're going to have Brittany Miller sing a song for us. So,
I'm glad to be here today, and glad for the spirit that I feel in my heart. I'm going to sing a song called Just Ask.
Alone in the darkness, you're wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is he truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it always will be? Well, my friend, I know the answer to your questions, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers who have been there, and their stories live on. Just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who
the dumb tell it all, ask the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer, just ask. I too have stood in the darkness, not wanting to walk one more mile, my mind filled with unanswered questions, fighting tears behind every smile. But then I grew strength from those pilgrims, the ones who were the first to believe. While their faith reached out to touch him, his arms reached back to help them, and he's able to do the same for you and me. Just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who's walking, and the dumb tell it all. Ask the beggars and lepers who've been touched by his hand. Can he handle an impossible task? They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. They'll know the answer. Just ask.
Amen. Appreciate both of those good songs this morning. We could if we could talk to all of them, I'm thankful that we do have some that we can read about, but if we could talk to all of them, we could go back through years and years and years of witnesses that would tell us how God is able to help. I'm thankful for that. excuse me. I want to share with you today, if you would like to read along with me, the first five verses of the Bible for my scripture reading today. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I ask for your prayers today. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's my scripture reading today, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The title that I would like to use for the message today will be the gospel. I want you to think with me today about the gospel. There were so many things today so many thoughts I had. I made note of a few things here today. The word gospel means good news or good tidings, good message, glad tidings. Those are the meanings of the word, the gospel, good tidings or good news. The word gospel is found, I believe, about 100 times in the Bible
you will find the word gospel. And all of them being recorded, having been recorded in the New Testament. Every time the word gospel is used, it is used in the New Testament as far as I have been able to find. It comes from the same word. There are actually two words, of course, one of them being in the Greek, the verb, such as to preach the gospel, the action of it, one of them being the noun itself, just being the gospel or the good news. But every place in the scriptures, the approximately 100 times in the scriptures that you find the word gospel, it is always in reference to that, the good news. Now there is one place, and I found this very interesting. There is one place in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, where the word gospel is used, that it was taken from a different word than all of the other 99 or so places in the Bible where it was used. And that's in Galatians 3 and 8, where it said, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." Now that was a prophecy concerning the coming of Christ. And in that place where the gospel was used, it did come from a different Greek word, which still implied good news, but it came from a word that was used to say that it was the good news announced beforehand. And so we find in that before this time that God foreseeing, or the scripture rather, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, telling him that in him, that in his seed to follow, that all the nations would be blessed. Now, in the world today, we have a lot of bad news. I mean, we can hear bad news all the time, every day. If you read the newspaper or turn on the news channel or just listen to what's going on around you, then you are certainly going to hear bad news. But aren't you thankful that in the midst of all of that, that we have good news? I'm glad today that I am able to stand before this congregation of people and declare that there is good news. I want to read some things here. There are so many things that the Bible says about the gospel. There are so many ways that it is applied. The scriptures tell us of the gospel of the kingdom. They tell us of the gospel of Christ. They speak of the gospel of God. The Bible speaks of the gospel of your salvation. It speaks about the gospel of peace. It also tells us about the word of the gospel. It tells us about the truth of the gospel. It tells us about the hope of the gospel. It tells us about the faith of the gospel. It tells us about the afflictions of the gospel. Paul spoke to Timothy, I believe it was, about the afflictions of the gospel. And the Bible also talks to us about the mystery of the gospel. And perhaps one of my most favorite, and I'm going to try to speak about this later on, but in Revelation 14 and 6, John saw there in a vision the angel coming with, the Bible said, with the everlasting gospel. And I want to speak a little bit about that verse as I go on into the message today. There is bad news. And doesn't it always seem like that when you hear something good, that when you hear good news really seems to shine. Good news really seems to be eliminated when it is found in the midst of all of this bad news. And then suddenly we hear something good. We hear good news, and it really helps to perhaps dispel the bad news that has been heard. But I'll tell you what, there is bad news. The bad news is that the very first man that God ever created, whose name was Adam, because of his willful disobedience to God, plunged the human race into sin. That's bad news. God commanded him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam, because of his willful disobedience to God, he brought sin upon himself and upon all of his posterity that would follow. Adam, the first Adam, plunged the human race into sin, and because of that, ever since that day, people have been suffering and people have been dying, and there have been all sorts of trials and troubles and tribulations in the world that have been brought about by sin. A lot of times God gets blamed, doesn't he? I mean, a lot of times God gets blamed for the things that happen in this life, when all the while the truth of the matter is this was chosen by man. That's the bad news, that Adam, the son of God, Adam, one of God's sons, Adam, brought sin into this world. The good news is that the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible calls the second Adam, you know, the first Adam was from the earth. He was earthy. The second Adam, the Bible says, is the Lord from heaven. And the good news is that that sin that had been brought upon us by the first Adam because of his willful disobedience to God, the good news is that by the obedience of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, a way was made for us to be forgiven of our sins. And just as the first Adam plunged every one of us into sin, when Jesus came and made the atonement, he made it for every one of us. You know, I'll tell you what, the theories of Calvinism has to fall there, doesn't it? Because when Adam sinned, he brought sin upon every one of us. He didn't only bring sin upon some of the human race, he brought sin upon every one of us. And so when Christ came into the world to die for our sin, it was necessary, it was imperative that he die for every one of us, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, listen, without that good news, without that which Jesus did, that which Adam did would have brought about horrible results to us. And listen, lost friend, if you go on and fail to seek the Lord and be saved, then you're going to have to suffer the eternal punishment that comes about from what the first Adam brought upon the human race. Because in that day that God told him that if he were to eat of that, that he would surely die, God wasn't only telling him that he would suffer physical death, he was also telling him that he would suffer spiritual death, that he would suffer a spiritual separation from God. And once that comes, once we become accountable before God for our sins, and that spiritual separation takes place, the only one that can restore that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's the only one that can restore. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad one time for the good news that came to your ears? Aren't you thankful for the gospel, the good news that Jesus had come to the world and that he had come to pay the ransom for our sins? I'm thankful that I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that when that time came in my life that I knew I was lost. That time I spoke to you about just a little while this morning, when I knew I was lost, when I knew I was condemned in sin and separated from God, I'm thankful that someone had taken the time in my life to tell me the good news, to shed the good light upon the situation, to tell me that though I was lost and undone before God, that there was a way that that could be remedied, that there was a way that I could be made right with the Lord, that I could be justified. That was good news to my ears, that there was a way, that there was a hope of the gospel. And so Jesus preached. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible tells us Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Paul said in Romans 1 and 1 that he was separated unto the gospel of God. There are those of us here today that have received the call from heaven to preach the gospel. There are those here today that have been called into the ministry, and that's the purpose for which we have been called, to preach, not just to preach anything, but to preach the gospel. The Lord called us, brethren, to preach the gospel, to go and to spread the good news and to preach the gospel. And there also today within the Lord's church, he left the church here in the world to go out and to testify of the gospel, to tell people of the good news that there is a Savior that has come, that has been crucified, that is risen from the dead, and that is alive both now and forevermore, to go out and to spread the good message of the gospel. I wanted to share with you today just a few things that I find very interesting about the gospel. I want you to think with me for just a moment, and I've already said this morning that every place that we hear the gospel, the word, the gospel, every place that it's recorded is in the New Testament scriptures. But I want you to think with me today about this. How old is the gospel? How old is it? Did it really begin when Jesus came to the earth? Did not the gospel exist before that time? If it did not, then how would the angel there that John saw in the vision, how would it have been that he came with the everlasting gospel to preach? The gospel is much older than approximately 2,000 years ago when the things that we read in the New Testament begin to happen and begin to be spoke about. The gospel existed, though it may not have been mentioned by that word or that name in the Old Testament. The gospel was very much there, and it was very much alive. In fact, I'm going to say this, and the reason that I read the scriptures that I read today is that I believe the very opening of the scriptures, I believe the Bible opens to us with the gospel. Can you see the gospel in the creation? Can you see the gospel in these verses that we read about here in the first five verses of Genesis? Can you see the gospel in that? When the Bible tells us there that God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you see the good news? Can you see the gospel in that? Well, the Apostle Paul couldn't he? I want to read some scripture to you to prove that. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul was speaking about the gospel, and this is what he said. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see what the Apostle Paul did there in writing about and in speaking about the gospel. He went back and reflected upon that very thing, that very time in creation. Friends, I'm telling you that there was, when God did those things, those natural things of creation, when God saw that darkness that was upon the face of the deep, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. God wanted us to see the spiritual implications there. The Bible, all throughout the Bible, we hear about darkness in reference to sin. We hear about sin being depicted as great darkness, and Jesus is the light. I mean, friends, he is the light, the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. And the first act of God's creation there, when he began to shape the earth, the first thing he did was he spoke light into existence, and then he took the light and he separated the light from the darkness. And listen, those of us that have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to separate ourselves from the darkness. We are not to walk in the darkness. We are not, you know what? Paul said, what fellowship does light have with darkness? It doesn't. In fact, you can read there and learn from the very creation of that, that something that the light is able to do is able to illuminate the darkness, isn't it? If you if all these windows were covered and all these lights were off in here, it'd be dark. If we turned the light on, it'd be gone. It'd disappear. It would dispel the darkness. That's what light does. I'll tell you, there was a great darkness when I was lost and in my sin. There was a great darkness in my soul. I was in the darkness of sin. But when Jesus saved my soul, he gave that light to me. He put that great light down in my heart, and it dispelled that darkness, and I don't need to walk in that anymore. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 1 that we need to walk in the light as he is in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. We have it one with another. We have fellowship with God, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. Was not the gospel proclaimed in Psalm 16 and 10? When David said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thy flesh, nor suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Was not the gospel proclaimed in that? Why, sure it was. If you look in the second chapter of Acts, the Bible tells us there that when David spoke that he spoke before of the resurrection of Christ. Was not the gospel proclaimed in Isaiah 45, 22, when God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Yes, the gospel message went forth from that. Did not the gospel message go forth from Isaiah chapter 9 when he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The gospel has been proclaimed, friends, from the very beginning. It was proclaimed in God saying, let there be light. It was proclaimed in the psalmist David speaking beforehand of the resurrection. It was proclaimed in the 19th chapter of Job in verse 25 when Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth. The gospel message, the good news. That was good news, wasn't it? Good news way back then when Job was in such a horrible set of circumstances. Good news. He was able to share good news that he knew that his Redeemer lived and that there was coming a time when he would come to the earth to do what was necessary in order to make a way of salvation for all people. That was good news that Job was proclaiming in his day. Good news that Isaiah proclaimed in his day. It was good news that Jonah went there and preached to the people of Nineveh. Jesus came preaching repentance. You look in the fourth chapter of John, or Matthew rather, before it talks about him preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did he preach? The Bible says from that time forth, Jesus began to preach that men should repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When we stand here and we bring forth a message about repentance, friends, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're preaching the gospel. It's all part of it. It's all enveloped in that. We know that there are facts of the gospel. We know that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ are facts of the gospel. But listen, repentance is a great fact of the gospel. Faith is a great factor in the gospel. When you preach Jesus, you preach the gospel. Because listen, Jesus essentially is the gospel. Jesus is the good news. The gospel's not just a message. It's not just a word. Jesus is the good news. The good news is that Jesus came into the world. I'll tell you what I believe about it. What I believe about the everlasting gospel. I believe the gospel existed before man ever did. Way back in eternity, when it was determined, God made the plan before he made the man. When it was determined in eternity that Jesus would come and die for the sins of man, friends, before man was ever created, that was determined, and that was great news, wasn't it? Great news that Jesus would come and that he would die on the cross for our sins. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for those that have been willing to stand for it through the years. Paul, as I said, he wrote about the afflictions of the gospel. He went through some heavy trials preaching the gospel, didn't he? I mean, he had great afflictions because of it, but he obviously deemed it worth it. It's worth it. No matter what we have to go through to uphold the gospel, it's worth it because it's the good news that people need to hear. There are a lot of mysteries in it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. There's a lot of mystery in the gospel, isn't there? there's peace. I told you the Bible speaks about the gospel of peace. There's great peace in it, isn't there? One of the great ways that it's everlasting, hasn't the gospel had an everlasting effect on you? Sure has on me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And when I believed the gospel, when I turned to the Lord and repented, it certainly had an everlasting effect upon my soul. But it was there. The good news was already known before God ever even created man. Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I don't see, salvation, I'm just going to be honest with you about what I believe today. Salvation is by Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus has always been the way, the truth, and the life. And I really don't see how anybody can get anything other than that out of the scriptures. He has always been the way. He was the way before he came in the flesh. He was the way while he was here in the flesh. He is the way now that he has been here and laid the flesh down and gone to take up his abode at the right hand of God. He's still the way. He has always been the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus has always been the access, our access to God has always been through him. From the very foundation of the world, he has been the way. I appreciate your attention today. I would love to take more time, but I wanted to share those thoughts with you today. Last Sunday evening, we just about everybody had left. There were a few that were still out in the parking lot, and Brother Mike Wheat asked me. I was at the back door greeting the last few people that were leaving, and I wanted to tell this to you today. Brother Mike Wheat asked me to come over there, over here on this side, and I came over there, and Philip Talbot was over there leaning on the bench, weeping, and began to talk to him, and he began to tell about having been saved 4 years ago. And in that conversation, he expressed a desire to unite with the church. And so because of that, I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. I don't believe that by mentioning him by name, I don't believe we'll be embarrassing at all, because he came in this morning and he told me he's ready. And so because of that, I'm going to ask for a song. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand, and if that's still his desire, I'm going to ask him to come if he would. And I'm going to have him tell the church what he told us, and we'll go from there. So let the congregation stand.
Number 58.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages.